Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline, including the usual co-host of this show as Jhené Egbuamike gets ready for her game with the Los Angeles Sparks against the Dallas Wings later on tonight. First game of the season for her squad, first day of the season for the WNBA. We are delighted to be joined by Katie George, ACC Network reporter and analyst, all around great person, sitting in for Jhené Egbuamike today. And Katie is taking a break from days of coverage of ACC softball going on right now. So Katie, how are we feeling right now? It's a lot of sun.
A little sunburn, honestly, but I'm happy to be inside and with you. Unfortunately, I didn't have a rec league basketball game or volleyball game on the schedule, so I was open to hang out with you for the next 3 hours.
I appreciate that. Listen, the one thing I can say about the show is I don't know if hanging out with us is better than much, but I know more often than not, we're a better alternative than physical activity. You can sit down here. It's a nice, cool indoor environment. So, Katie, if nothing else, I feel like we can take care of you on that regard.
I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to it, to say the least.
Exactly. It's going to be a lot of fun today. We got some great guests we get to talk to. Tony Allen, former NBA champion, about some of the Hall of Fame class being enshrined in the NBA this upcoming weekend. Some big announcements there. Jeff Darlington, help us out with the NFL. Josiah Johnson, host of the Out of Pocket podcast, King Josiah on Twitter, to all of you. And then, as I mentioned, Jhené Egbuamike will give us the preview of what's going on as the WNBA gets started tonight. But it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And Katie, we did get some news around the professional basketball. James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant, it sounds like, are on track to all be on the court at the same time for the Nets, which is a thing I was starting to think wasn't actually possible. We've seen the Lakers choose to be a little more judicious with the way their stars have played down the stretch. Mm-hmm. And now we get this Nets team, Big Three, all back together at once. And Katie, we've seen combinations of them for plenty of games throughout the second half of the season since we got James Harden here. But is there anything you think we need to see from this team with all three of these guys on the court that's going to make you feel any differently about this Nets squad than you already do?
I don't think so, and I don't think it needs to be anything in particular with the three of them. It's just the fact that they're finally going to be out on the court again for, what, the eighth time out of 72 games, which is pretty mind-boggling when you look at the numbers. I don't think that they need to prove anything. Steve Nash said after practice today, if everything holds the same, you will see the three of them. We don't know if there's going to be a minutes restriction for any of them or if they're going to play in the second half because they are going to have a back-to-back as they round out this regular season, but I just think getting back on the court together, figuring out, gelling, finding that chemistry, I think is just important and only just adds to your confidence as they round out this regular season and hope to lock up that number two spot in the East.
To that end, ESPN Stats and Information has put together the data on this Big Three. They've played in some combination in 46 games for the Nets this season. Harden and Irving have played together in 19 games. Durant and Irving have played together in 17 games. Harden and Durant have played as a pair in just 3 games this year, including Wednesday's win over the San Antonio Spurs, which was Harden's first game since April 5th. So it's been a grab bag here, and I can understand, Katie, what you brought up, what Steve Nash brought up in the continuity. I think that's an interesting juxtaposition to what we're seeing from the Lakers down the stretch here. Katie, strategy-wise for these two teams, I could look at the Lakers, and I don't think LeBron James and Anthony Davis should play for the rest of the regular season. I think what you've seen from them, the lame groin for Anthony Davis after the last couple of games, LeBron James being 36 years old, coming back off that ankle, I said they should prioritize health down the stretch of the season and try and make it happen. Does seeing the Brooklyn Nets Big Three go out here and take the court, it make you think that I'm wrong at all on that? Make you think that there is a better strategy being employed by the Brooklyn side of things here?
Well, it's just two different situations, right? You know, Brooklyn's sitting in a position to be able to go into the playoffs in a good place, even though they haven't played a whole lot together as the three of them out on the court. For the Lakers, it's a little bit different because they're trying to survive in advance and get out of a play-in tournament situation. And so they've got two games left. Mind you, one coming up tomorrow against the Pacers, who are actually playing extremely well. They just knocked off the 76ers. They fell on Thursday night against Milwaukee in a shootout, 142-133. They're playing well. So it's not out of the realm of the possibility that the Lakers drop one of these next two games, specifically if AD and LeBron don't play in that. But to your point, do you just understand, hey, let's be realistic here. We're going to be in a play-in scenario. Let's just give them the next two games off so that we can promote as much health as possible so that they can be ready to roll when it really matters? I still think right now matters. And that's the beauty of this play-in tournament. We were just talking pregame, Mike, before we came on the air. It was like the fact that we're talking about game 71, game 72, the NBA has done its job by making us as fans interested in what happens at the very, very end, right before the playoffs. Like, I don't even care, really, if the Nets surpasses the 76ers at this point and takes the number one seed in the East, or if they stay at number two. I'm looking at 6, 7, 8, and 9 and how exciting that is right now and what kind of implications it has for teams, specifically as it pertains to the West and the LA Lakers at this point.
It's been amazing to consider this. Chenan Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golick Jr., Katie George with us on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Looking at the star power that we have brand-wise and player-wise heading into the playing tournament, you're right. I hadn't even thought of that. We've got some things still up in the air for some of the top seeds in the league, and we couldn't care less. Part of that's been we saw very public griping from LeBron James, very public griping from a bunch of players, Luka Doncic, Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban, about just having this play-in tournament in general. But right now you've got the Boston Celtics, who we know banged up, certainly not themselves, but a big marquee brand in the NBA. The Washington Wizards, with what we've seen from Russell Westbrook in the last few stretch of the game, overtaking Oscar Robertson for the record. And then the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors potentially playing in the first round. You're right, Katie. I have not heard one iota about tanking this season or really the top of this NBA season. So this makes me wonder, too. Adam Silver's the one that's been pining for that midseason tournament. It seems like, Katie, that he has hit a home run on all this stuff, and I wouldn't be surprised if we continue to see him looking for what's new and what's next for this league, because the appetite for these matchups is there and then some right now.
No, it absolutely is, and that's why I think Adam Silver is so dang good at his job. He's always looking for the next goal or the next idea, and he's super progressive, and this was something obviously players were not for when they fell in the seedings into that 7, 8, 9 spot. I mean, you mentioned Luka Doncic and even Mark Cuban, the owner of the Mavs, who sounded off on, well, in theory, this wasn't a good idea. Well, that was when they were sitting in 7th on the cusp of having to play in. Well, now they're sitting in 5th, and you don't hear those same kind of gripes. You're hearing them from LeBron. So it's always about, you know, who's in that position at that moment where they feel like this was a bad idea. But as a fan watching, it's everything that we could absolutely hope for. Now, I understand that this has been a condensed season for them, playing 72 games. They maybe physically don't feel at their best, and now they're in a win or go home situation playing in. But it's exactly what we want to see, and that's why I'm so excited. I just don't know if the Lakers are in a position to fully rest LeBron and AD. Do they feel like, hey, let's just go all in on the play-in tournament, or do they want to try to escape it? Because there's still time for them to escape it if the Trailblazers do, in fact, lose to the Nuggets on Sunday night, which is definitely a possibility, and if the Mavericks are able to lose one of their next two games to round out their regular season.
And that's a great question. Let's stick there. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Because coming up next, the Lakers are one of the last big dominoes to fall in the NBA. And that discussion seems to be at the center of all of this. Rest and focusing on what I think could be a certain matchup, knowing your opponent, albeit in the play-in, or understanding that getting out of that with a team that is banged up and old might be worth its weight in gold at this point. We'll get to that next here. Chenan Golick Jr., Mike Golick Jr., and Katie George on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chenan and Golick Jr., the podcast.
Chenan Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Excited to talk to Tony Allen, 2008 NBA champ, on the Goodyear Hotline in about 10 minutes here. As we get ready, one of the most star-studded Hall of Fame class in NBA history, getting ready to be enshrined later this weekend. Mike Golic Jr., Katie George here, filling in for Chinne Agumake today. And Katie, before we get to more of the rest versus rust conversation, or really rest versus potentially getting out of the play-in conversation with the Los Angeles Lakers, I know you're joining us right now from Louisville. You've been covering the ACC softball tournament for us here, doing a great job as always. And we were talking before the show about what's going on right now at the ACC tournament. Clemson in year one coming out dominant behind what you called to me behind closed doors the Babe Ruth of softball. So I'm going to need a little bio blast on what's happened here at Clemson and how this has been made possible by one woman's effort.
Yeah, so her name is Valerie Cagle. She is a redshirt freshman, technically, because obviously they didn't get to play in the COVID year a season ago. She's an absolute stud. This was my first time getting to see her play in person. I saw her yesterday play in the quarterfinals, today play in the semifinals against Virginia Tech, and she's a pitcher. She's phenomenal. I mean, she has so many shutouts, so many wins on the season. They won the ACC regular season championship, and obviously the Babe Ruth comment. She had an absolute blast to right field today for a single-shot homer. They ended up winning 2-0, but she can get it done at the plate. She can get it done on the mound, and the fact that she's just a redshirt freshman is so unbelievably exciting for a team that just got started this season. So they're on the cusp of winning an ACC softball championship as well, which is a great way to start the NCAA tournament. So cap off to Clemson for getting a softball program in and of itself, but then coming out and winning a ton of games and already having a couple championships in their name.
It's really great to see Clemson Athletics finally being able to find success somewhere. I was really worried that program was not going to be able to find any success in this season. So first year of the program, going out and getting that kind of effort just blew my mind as we were heading into this. So that's where you guys can check out Katie George when she is not being forced to come hang out with us here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. So, Katie, as we head down this last stretch, and I mean, we're in the final game or two of the season, depending on which team you are specifically. We know in the Western Conference, this is really centered around the Lakers in this discussion. We got the big three in Brooklyn getting ready to hopefully be all back on the court together to end this regular season. And LeBron James and Anthony Davis just missed the last game that we had dealing with that team. We're not sure what's going to happen here down the stretch, Katie. So if you get to be the coach for this one, you get to be Frank Vogel and this Lakers outfit. If these guys are both, let's say, 75%, they've been practicing well, they're probably at about 75%. Are you putting them out there on the court to go for these final two games of the season?
I don't think so, because I think the Lakers are playing well without them. I mean, obviously, we saw LeBron try to return in the two games that he played in, then he retweaked that ankle, and we haven't seen him in six games since. But they just got a great win over Houston on Wednesday night. You know, Talen Horton-Tucker emerged with 23 points and 10 assists. Kyle Kuzma almost had a triple-double off the bench. And, you know, Vogel spoke very highly of Wesley Matthews and his contributions and the big plays he's coming up with late. Mike, I don't know about you, but I think there's a different mindset as a player when you don't have your best two guys out on the floor producing for you night in and night out. It's almost like, okay, well, we're not going to have AD. We're not going to have LeBron tonight. Like, I know that going in. I've got to step up. I've got to drop 20 tonight. And I think that that's kind of the mindset that we've seen from some of these guys as they've navigated the season without their best two. And they've figured it out, and they've done a really good job holding it down. Yes, they're in a play-in situation right now, but I think you hold on to how your guys are playing without them right now. Give them two more days to rest before you may be in a play-in situation. But also, rely on the guys that you got who are playing so well right now to get it done against the Pacers, and then to get it done against the Pelicans. And who knows, if Portland drops a game or the Mavs drop one of their two, you might be out of a play-in situation altogether, and you did give your best two a little bit more rest so they can take that into the first round of the playoffs. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think the mindset matters for other guys if they're out there or not?
I don't. I think it's actually really akin to, and I'm sure you've heard plenty of this on the weekend with Peter Burns, where you guys can catch Best Week Ever on ESPN Radio Sundays, 7 to 10 Eastern. But this feels like a superhero movie where you've got some of the lesser characters just trying to hold off the oncoming horde for long enough for the stars to finally get everything charged up here, for LeBron James and Anthony Davis to be able to get this thing going in the right direction. And you're right, as someone who was a role player during my time as a player, during my time as an offensive lineman, like, when you know they're out as opposed to there, but you're not sure what they're going to look like. You're not sure if it's 100%. For the Lakers, they had to negotiate that with Anthony Davis a lot during the last few games. He was able to singularly get back in there because he's so physically gifted, because he can impact the game defensively. But as a teammate, you're trying to figure out, all right, am I letting them operate like the star I know they are normally versus how much do I give and take in these certain instances? So, Katie, I'm with you. I think that you hold them out for as long as you need to, because I don't know about you. I'm not scared of the play-in for this Lakers team as long as health is the one thing taken care of, even if it is a team like Golden State that they would have to face.
I know, which is what it's shaping up to be. I think I'm a little bit more scared than probably you are if AD and LeBron still aren't close to 100% and they're facing the Warriors in the play-in. If they have a conversation with both of them and they say, hey, give me two more days and I'll be 90 to 100%, I think that's, you take it and you take your chances against Steph Curry and the Warriors and how out of his mind he's playing right now. But if they're going to be 75%, by the time that they're playing in the play-in, I don't think it's worth them tweaking it again or not feeling as close to their best as possible. So it'd be really interesting to see what Vogel ends up doing and how they end up, you know, holding them out or putting them in there for even a couple of minutes just so they can kind of find their rhythm.
Yeah, there is some middle ground in this, and I think for Frank Vogel, it is going to be, because by all accounts we've heard from other players on that team, from the coaches, LeBron James has looked really good in a lot of these practices behind closed doors. Everyone's remarked on his ability to take care of his body. We all know his reputation for that, but this is a different circumstance for even this Lakers team that was coming off a different circumstance winning last year in the bubble. So a lot to take in on that. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN if you want to weigh in. But coming up next, as we get ready to enshrine Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, and Kevin Garnett in the Basketball Hall of Fame this weekend, there's a lot to take in about their accomplishments. But coming up next, what's it like to have Kobe Bryant say that you were by far the toughest defender he ever faced? We'll talk to that man next after this word from Indeed. Now, if you need to hire people fast, Indeed can help you beat the clock with powerful hiring tools like Instant Match. Just sponsor a job and Indeed will send you a list of resumes from Indeed's database on the spot. They also have 135 skills tests for things like computer proficiency or customer service talent, so you can find the right candidates even faster. Did you know that 10 hires are made every minute on Indeed? That's right, 10. It just happened now, the time it was taking me to read this whole thing. It just goes to show you that when you need people for work, Indeed works. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Back after this here, Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Hoping to talk to Tony Allen here, NBA champion, and a guy who has had a lot of crossover with the impending Hall of Fame class in the NBA. We know Kevin Garnett, we know Tim Duncan, and the late Kobe Bryant all being enshrined this weekend. And Katie, it got me to thinking before the show, as we look out, we see the Hall of Fame enshrine great players like this. This might be one of the great, best classes ever. But 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. I want Hall of Fame moments from professional basketball for people that we can collect and try and enshrine by the end of the show. Katie, like, I'm thinking like Malice in the Palace. For some people may not be a Hall of Fame moment, but for me it seems like one of those where I can't tell the story of the NBA without it. I always go back to, though, Katie, my favorite moment, one of them at least, during those great years of the Miami Heat, those deep playoff runs involving LeBron James on those Heat teams, when you had the Miami fans outside of American Airlines Arena banging on the glass to come in after they had all left early before the Heat mounted a furious comeback. I feel like in an age of NFTs, I would buy that moment and put it in a digital wallet somewhere or make it in the Hall of Fame here. Do you have an NBA moment that jumps out to you that you would like to make Hall of Fame worthy?
Well, it was something that I always had heard about as a kid, and I got to be honest, and maybe you were in the same boat as me when we got to sit down and finally see The Last Dance in real time, which was an unbelievable documentary by ESPN, so I will toot our own horn here. Steve Kerr's buzzer beater, I think it was game six against the Utah Jazz. I would say that that's a Hall of Fame moment, not just because Steve Kerr, you know, solidified the NBA Finals for the Chicago Bulls with that shot, but I think it was so interesting and unique what happened in game one and the fact that Jordan, on a similar play, pulled up, he hits the buzzer beater to win game one. Well, fast forward to game six and they're in a similar situation. They draw up the same kind of play. And I just think it's the evolution of Steve Kerr as a player and a shooter and the evolution of Michael Jordan as a teammate. Michael Jordan expected to get double teamed. And earlier on in his career, Mike, he probably would have said, I can take these guys myself and do it all on my own. But in that moment in game six, he gets double teamed as expected, and he finds Steve Kerr. And Steve Kerr is able to hit that buzzer beater. And so I just kind of love that moment because Michael Jordan finally trusted his teammates to help him out in a moment of need and didn't always feel like he had to do it himself. So that would be my Hall of Fame moment, and getting to see all of that, you know, firsthand, because I didn't get to see it as a kid in The Last Dance, was really, really cool.
You know what? Leave it to Katie George, our great ACC Network analyst and reporter, to give like the heartfelt, very well thought out answer here while I'm trying to troll people on this one. But it is a great poll and point, and it's a great reminder of what we got. Like, we're like, I think just got past the year anniversary of when we all are getting close to got The Last Dance early because of everything that had happened at the beginning of last year. And it was such a great opportunity to learn about some of these moments that had existed in our childhood, but maybe we didn't get to remember the same way as some other people. So 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Again, we're trying to effort Tony Allen here, but we also want to hear from you. The NBA moment, the professional basketball moment, it can be something that happened on the court like Katie described. It could be something that happened off the court, in the tunnel around a court, at the buses, out back after a game was supposed to happen. All the above are okay, but Katie, I can't go any further into the show without acknowledging the elephant in the room. And I say that actually, pun intended here, because this is animal based. You and I were sitting around before the show and we saw poll make its way into our lives here. U.gov decided to put a poll up online asking, I think it was about 1,300 adults, about the animal they feel they could most beat in a fight. Now, people around this show, Katie, have had to listen to me talk about how I think I could beat a deer in a fight if put in that situation and having to get myself out of it. This poll had animals like rats, house cats, geese, medium-sized dogs, all the way up to gorilla, elephant, lion, and grizzly bear. And Katie, the thing that blows my mind is, of the people polled, 6% of women and 7% of men actually thought they could take a grizzly bear in a fight. Like, did they take these polls after people started drinking? Or do we just think we have met some of the bravest people on planet Earth through this poll?
I don't know. What was the criteria to be polled? Because clearly you and I were not involved in this. Like, were they fighters? Were they people, to your point, who had been drinking? Like, I would love to know the demographic that was polled that got us some of these answers. Because of all that you see, women versus men, where is it that women think that they can actually beat a lion? Oh, yeah, 7% of women think that they can actually beat a lion. I'm sorry, in what world? And why would you want to? Go, Joe.
I don't understand why anyone would want to here. And we get into this a lot of time when we get to March Madness and we rank teams by mascots to try and figure out who has the best or most ferocious. But I look in these situations, and you're right, Katie, usually I understand the gap in stupid is going to fall in favor of men. And you see it reflected in a lot of these numbers. I mean, we polled these people, 23% of men compared to 8% of women thought they could take down a king cobra. But Katie, the thing that still surprised me the most in all this is house cat. 64% of women and 74% of men.
Fierce.
How is that not 100% of people, Katie? You can't tell me if put to it with your life on the line, okay, you can't defeat a house cat.
You clearly haven't come across some scary cats. My grandmother used to have one, didn't cut the claws. I would not go up against Fiji on my darkest day, Gojo. And here's what I want to know. Medium-sized dog actually got a decent response. What is a medium-sized dog? Like, what would we quantify that as? Is that a basset hound? Is that a cocker spaniel? Because I feel like I could take down a terrier if I needed to. Not saying that I would ever want to, because dogs are a human's best friend. But, I mean, I think we need to quantify the sizes of these dogs, because on this poll we've got large-sized dogs versus medium-sized dogs.
Yeah, we need a lot of answers on this one. So we're going to try and do our best to search them out here. At Mike Golic Jr. on Twitter. At Katie George, I believe I'm getting that right here. Yeah, at Katie underscore George 05 on Twitter. We need some answers on which animals you think you can take down here and what quantifies a large or medium-sized dog. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like we're going to get a hold of Tony Allen at this point. Busy man, NBA enshrinement weekend coming up, and he's a guy that had a lot of crossover with this Hall of Fame class. And so you can understand he's getting ready for the festivities like everybody else who's getting ready to get let back outside after all this. 888
ESPN. Are you sure he's not just screening your calls?
You know what? That could also be it, Katie, because he did hear me talk yesterday about pancakes versus waffles, which we'll get your very controversial opinion on later on in the show. And now he's listening to us talk about fighting animals. So I could understand that. But maybe we can coax him back. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. Give us the Hall of Fame moment from the NBA that you want enshrined as we look not towards the players, but at some of the all-time moments this league has given us heading into this all-time enshrinement weekend. But coming up next, while we feel like we're at the end of the road for COVID-19 and its impact on so many things, the world of sports is not done having to adjust and deal with this virus. We'll get to one team in Major League Baseball that's starting to see some of the effects and why there actually may be good signs for what is to come based on what we've read. That's next here. Chanae Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., and Katie George hanging out on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Mike Golic Jr., Katie George hanging out. We'll take a look at some of the play-in teams coming up here in just a little bit. Which player would you want to go into battle with? Trial by combat style of the guys that we have, because we have got some star power heading into this play-in tournament. So we're excited to take a look at that here. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And that's where we get to head to now, as we are looking forward to being joined by Tony Allen, 2008 world champion, as well as one of the best defenders in NBA history. And Tony, we appreciate your time and joining us here today. We talked some about that play-in tournament before we get to this Hall of Fame class, a trio of guys that you know really well playing with and against. I was curious what you thought about the play-in tournament. We've seen a lot of players with strong opinions on it, but what were your thoughts on seeing what we've got built up now?
Well, first, thanks for having me. I think the play-in tournament, it gives me the college feel. You know, it was cool for me when they had to do the bubble and things of that nature, coronavirus safety protocol. That was cool. But, you know, once we step foot in those arenas, I'm an old-fashioned guy. I just felt like, man, we should just keep it simple, stupid. And then that's how I felt at first. But the competitive side, I think it raised that bar up. You know, you look at a team like the Lakers, who was sitting at the mountaintop at one point, almost clearing in. You know what I mean? It makes you take your level of play at a high, extreme high level. Because I know it's a lot of veteran guys who love to get that bye, or, you know what I mean, not even have to focus on nothing but getting healthy and going into the playoffs.
Tony, speaking of that competitive side, you played with one of the most competitive we've ever seen. The 9 new members of the Basketball Hall of Fame are actually going to be at Mohegan Sun Casino and Resort in Connecticut this weekend. You played alongside Kevin Garnett. What do you feel like you appreciated most about being his teammate?
Oh, man. First thing first, just a big brother. The way, just pretty much, him coming in with his professionalism, I was just telling a good friend of mine this the other day, like, if I could say anything in high praise, like, I took his whole DNA and brought it to Memphis. Just the way he carried himself, the way he, you know, tuned in when it was, you know, practice, the way he, you know, got his shots up early, shots up late, got in the weight room, day's work, you know what I mean? Then
then be a good enough guy to, you know, ask guys how their day going, you know, little old me kind of guy, you know, and it was just like I took all of that, his repetition, like everything he done, he did it the same way every day. And I think that's why he was so drilled in and being a Hall of Famer that he is now, man. I soaked up a lot from him. So, man, it was a lot I took from Kevin. But more importantly, the grit and grind, whole movement, I kind of shadowed my whole identity after him.
Movement is absolutely the right way to refer to that. As we're talking to Tony Allen, six-time NBA All-Defensive Team member with us here on the Goodyear Hotline on Chiney and Golic Jr. And speaking of defense, this came up earlier in the year when Draymond Green had some things to say, and I appreciated your clapback. Who stamped you? Who'd you clamp? Well, the one who we know has stamped you very publicly, the late Kobe Bryant, called you the toughest defender he ever faced. What was the biggest challenge about going up against someone like Kobe Bryant when you faced him on the court?
Yeah, you know, one of the things I always tell people when I speak of the Bean, Mr. Bean Bryant, I always look at the times that he shot the ball. You know what I mean? It never was a shot that he didn't think he was going to hit. He stayed in the seek and destroy mentality, the Mamba mentality we all know. And just knowing to not get discouraged. You get what I'm saying? See, a lot of guys have battled with him, you know, and, you know, like he said in the interview I had saw when he spoke so highly of me, he said to help. And I'm going to explain that to y'all. You know, when guys get it in the post, when Cole get it in the and get it in the post, he hits you with this elbow and this shoulder. It's real quick. The referee might not even see it. That shoulder get anywhere near your stomach, I'm telling you, you might have a tomato chest. Because I'm telling you, he's going into his move. And I noticed that. So what that did was made me go in the weight room and do 1,000 sit-ups and, you know, more weightlifting, getting stronger. That was one aspect of me trying to, you know, guard him. I knew for sure I had to be physical. And just knowing that he's working on those weird turnarounds, head fakes, that was one of my Achilles heels where I couldn't stay on the ground because he's so deadly when he shoot it. I fall for a head fake. And I just over the years, I grew it, you know, just always not get discouraged, compete, because I know at the end of the day, one of these shots might miss. And it might be a rebound for us to either push crazy these games go. So I just kept that mentality that every time that I played him, never spoke to him. We never had any words, you know what I mean? And it got so clever and competitive at the time that, you know, I had to scout those guys' plays at the train. And he knew when I knew that he was going to get the ball, I would overplay. And that's when he would start speaking to Paul and Gasol in Spanish, setting up the back door. You know what I mean? I had to pick up on a lot of things just playing them, you know. And it was like I say, the pleasure was all mine. I wanted to meet him. I definitely wanted to meet him. Probably possibly start, you know, some additions to that camp that he had, you know, put a defensive method to it. I felt like, you know, we lost a good one, man. And I was definitely hurt.
Definitely. A lot of people hurt by that loss, but hopefully this weekend gets to be a celebration for so many people about the life and the accomplishments of Kobe Bryant, of Kevin Garnett, of Tim Duncan, and so many of the greats that are now getting the chance to join this hall. Tony, we appreciate your time. We appreciate the stories. Enjoy this weekend, and best of luck. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks, Tony.
All right. Much love.
Tony Allen with a six-time NBA All-Defensive Team member, recounting some of those times. And, yeah, getting elbows in the shoulders and the chest from Kobe Bryant, Katie, sounds like it'd be something to get me in the weight room pretty quick, too.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it would work out pretty well. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. As we get ready for the Hall of Fame enshrinement and induction this weekend for those great players, we want to hear from you. 888-729-3776. Your Hall of Fame NBA moment, whether it's a shot, whether it's an altercation on or off the court, all the above, we want to hear what moments you have put out there that we can collect and try and figure out what we'll enshrine as we get closer towards this weekend. We also want to take a look, coming up next here, at the play-in tournament. We've talked so much about it. We heard Tony Allen say he's an old-school guy, but I want to take a look at which one player we would like to take into this play-in tournament to work as your champion next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.